Welcome back. Message number three, question one. Mind your own business is usually the lean-to option when confronted by a distasteful issue such as the sin of others, or having to decide on a doctrinal issue with two opposing camps, both of which are your friends or relatives. Do you think that is a biblical approach pleasing to Christ? The answer obviously is no. Every believer is always called to take sides. That's how you be light. Light is absolute. And therefore, it is important for you to take the right side. And the right side, of course, is the side of Christ, which means the choice you make must be according to Holy Scriptures. Study the Bible. Shut your mind and your eyes and your heart of all personal relationships and be as objective as you possibly can in the evaluation of all issues. The transgressions committed, make sure that it is truly a transgression. Any doctrinal issue, make sure that it is the side of the Holy Scripture that you must always take, because that will always be the side of Christ. To sit on the fence is to be against Christ, because Jesus Christ says, if you are not for me, you are against me. There is no neutrality on this earth. Either you are on the side of the devil or you are on the side of Christ. There is no neutrality. Before salvation, we were all on the side of the devil. After salvation, God redeemed us by the blood of Christ. We are now on the side of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is incumbent upon you to make sure that you take the right side. Ask the right question, and you will be able to have the right biblical answer. Number two, you attend or lead in a Bible study that has become a hotbed of rumor mongering, where the attendees use the Bible study as a place to undermine others' faith, that is, to promote wrong teachings or attack character. How would you approach this issue? Do nothing or something. Give reasons for your answer. You and I know that these groups, small groups, Bible studies, where we invite everyone to attend, and we welcome everyone to attend, it can also become doorways where wrong teachings can enter into the church, where character assassination through rumor mongering could very well occur. And therefore, when it happens, you have to stop it as the Bible study leader or as a very mature believer. There was an incident some years back where a family visited our church. I think it was the father, mother, either one or two children. They attended for a few Sundays, and they attended our Bible study after worship service. We call it adult Bible class. And once they became more familiar and comfortable, during the teaching, the elder would ask, is there anyone who has any question? The father would stand up, and then he would begin to teach his view of the Bible. And then the elder suddenly realized that this man was not here to learn. He was here to take over the Bible study, teaching his views. And so the elder was very wise. He said that you are not asking any question. You are now presenting your view of certain doctrines of the Bible. Please sit down. He refused. He kept on talking and talking and talking. And so the elder had no choice but to stop his class halfway and to dismiss the class. And then when all walked out, he had to stop because he needed an audience. And then this was reported to me. And so the following Sunday, I invited him to the office to talk to him and his wife. And then I explained to him that we do not agree with your doctrines, your understanding of the Bible, and it was really strange. I cannot recall what the doctrines were, but it was strange. And so after nearly an hour of conversation, thank God, his whole family left. There are people who are very audacious. This is in a church, in the sanctuary. We use it as one of our venues for Bible study. And he was not afraid nor ashamed when he was told openly to please sit down. He refused. And of course, we could not touch him or do anything to him for fear that it might become a police case. But there are these individuals who will come in, and the Bible warns us they might come in as wolves in sheep's clothing. And they can cause trouble. And so the moment such things arises, whether it is rumor mongering or otherwise, you have to nip it in the bud and stop. I remember there was a prayer meeting that we had, and we are usually divided into small groups. And so this person who prays with us was very unhappy with some ministry, a ministry in our church. And then she started to complain. After a couple of sentences, I gently told her, "Can you please do not continue? This is a time for prayer meeting, and what you are sharing is not healthy, and it will affect our manner of prayer because of your complaint. If you are not happy, please write to the deacon in charge of that ministry, and that deacon will help you. But this is not the avenue, the arena, for you to raise up your unhappiness with a particular ministry in the church." Thank God she stopped. I think she never realized what she was doing, because I believe this member was well-meaning. It's just that she was overwhelmed by her pain and her hurt and her disappointment concerning that ministry. And so there will be both groups, that family whose intent was to infiltrate, and there may be members who are sincere, but they are overwhelmed by the hurt. And so when they need an audience, they may bring up issues that are not pertinent to that particular gathering. Like ours, it was prayer time. In other cases, it may be time to study the Bible. That person may be overwhelmed by emotions and hurt, so therefore, deal with them gently, deal with them carefully, tactfully, including the one who came in to infiltrate. Thank God the elder stopped him. And then I need to talk to him, and I did. And they left. So you cannot keep silent. You are to protect the flock at all levels. Every leader must remember, every committee member, you are to protect the flock if you know how. And you need to prepare yourself for such eventuality. Final question. When you deal with a sensitive issue like sin or doctrine, do you prefer to speak face-to-face about the issue or email to the person concerned to confront the issue? In the past, I used to talk to people. And then I realized that there may be occasion when the person that I spoke with may change their views. And there had been instances whereby it ended up, "You say this, I didn't say this, you say that, I didn't say that." And then I realized that when it comes to official matters, it is better and wiser and much easier to email. And so this is now my practice. Whenever it comes to official matters, I prefer email. And then I can choose my words carefully. The emotion is left out carefully. And then I will write the email, and there is a record of what has been exchanged, so that both parties will be very careful in our words, with our words, because now it is in black and white. And when you encounter the person, confront the person face to face, it can become a problem. But if the other person confronts you face to face, right, not on your part, the other person, what do? Then you have to listen very carefully. If it is a complaint about person A, and then you are the pastor, I would tell the person, after the person has finished, "Please email me your complaint." And when you email me, I need to know the place. I need to know the time. I need to know whether there are any other witnesses please email me with all this data, because every complaint occurs in a particular place and a time, because we are people bound by space and time. That's why I learned from my past mistakes, and that's why whenever someone made a complaint, I must be careful not to become a tool for member A, use the pastor to rebuild member B. Right? So I have to make sure, because if I want to confront member B without your place and time, how am I going to find out whether this person is guilty or not guilty? You say that, all right, he slandered me. You have been in communication for the past 10 years. During which period of the 10 years that this person slandered you or say something hurtful to you? Right? You need to tell me when did it happen. 5 years ago? Yesterday? Afternoon? Where did it happen? And then I will ask the person, where were you on this particular day at this particular time? Can you please tell me? Now, if his answer is completely different from this person, and you realize that both of them, one of them is not honest, then I'll ask him, do you have a witness? Who are you with? So these are some of the things that I learned along the way on how to deal with some issues. So there was this person who called me in the middle of the night around 10 p.m. I have something urgent to tell you. Can you please come to my home? And so I went to his home. He had a very, very serious complaint against an elder. Then he told me his story. Can you email me? The email did not come. I just forget about the matter. Same thing. Email me the place, the space, I mean the time, and other witnesses. It did not come. Now imagine if I were to confront the elder based upon his words. I knew the elder for more than 20 years. I met up with this person for about 6 months. And he made this complaint. Now, if I were to confront the elder, and then the elder denied it, and if I were to go up to him, and then he said, I did not say these things, what am I going to do? So who will have mud on his face? Me, right? I just been made use of. That's why I asked him, give me an email. Once he put it down in black and white, he can't deny it. And you'll realize that many people would rather say and not write. Do you know that one of the hallmarks of a new evangelical is they like to talk? They don't like things on paper. Because new evangelicals are people who are man pleasers. So they can talk to a fundamentalist and they will agree with the fundamentalist. They can talk to modernists and liberals, and they can also agree with modernists and liberals. So both groups like them. That's a new evangelical. But the moment you ask them to put down their position on paper, you realize that they cannot do that anymore. In other words, they are like chameleon. You are green color, I will be green together with you. If you are brown color, I'll be brown with you. That's a new evangelical. Like to talk, don't like to write. So be very mindful and careful. When you tell people, put it down in email. See whether they're going to do it. And if it's a conversation that the person confront me with, then I will go back home. I will write an email on this particular day at this particular place. You said these words to me. I'm now sending it to you for confirmation. Please reply whether you agree with my record of our conversation. So even if it's a conversation, I have black and white. In positions of leadership, in position where we are Christians, where we have to make decisions that are truthful and righteous, we have to take every precaution to make sure that we do what is right. And so these are some of the things and lessons and steps that I have learned along the way, painfully, because I made mistakes and then I try to not repeat them. And these are some of the precautions that I have learned along the way to protect myself as a pastor, to help people correctly and not to be made use of.